More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, fighting to forgive. Forgiveness is rarely as straightforward as we'd like it to be. Are you struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them? Let us help you find healing. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, fighting to forgive. You know, forgiveness is rarely as simple or straightforward as we'd like it to be. So if you are struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them, let us help you find healing. The number is 877-573-7825. Join the conversation. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So is there someone in your life, any other human on the planet, right? A spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, even a coworker, who you're struggling to forgive? We all have to forgive somebody because we're all fallen all the time. So maybe, as Greg was saying, you've said to somebody, I forgive you, but you're having a hard time letting go of the anger, the hurt, the resentment, or even the fear of what forgiving them really could do to you or your relationship. Is there a situation where you've genuinely worked to forgive someone, but you're still not sure it's safe to let them back in your life in some way? Or maybe you're trying to do what you need to do to heal a relationship with someone who hurt you, but they're accusing you of being unforgiving. Of course, sometimes we're the ones who do hurt someone else, and we're not sure what to do to gain their forgiveness in the situation. Even if we said we're sorry, how do we take the next steps? However the challenges of forgiveness are affecting your life and relationships, let us help you heal today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And as I was saying, this is really complicated because it's often not just, we think it's just between us and another person, right? And if we can bring ourselves to say, all right, for the sake of my own soul, even if it's for nothing else, I'm going to forgive this person. That's, you know, we live in a place where we get a lot of snow. That's like the first pass of the plow, you know, if I can use that metaphor. If you live in a place with snow, you know what I'm talking about. But to really be able to drive on that road again, right, it's going to take a couple passes. It's going to take salting it. It's going to take maybe the temperatures warming up. There are layers to forgiveness because you have to then grapple with, did you have part in this? Can you forgive yourself? Why did God let it happen? You did all the things right, and God allowed this. So are you angry with God, even though you're like, well, God's perfect. I shouldn't be angry with God. How do I deal with this? There's the fear of, if I let this person back in my life, it's all going to happen again because they're never going to change. There are so many layers to this, including other people who might be satellite to the relationship with this person that you're trying to work out forgiveness with, and then that gets complicated. So it's okay if you're struggling with forgiveness in some area of your life today. Let's help you untie those knots and figure it out and give you practical, faith-filled ways to move forward in that situation and bring healing for your heart.
877-573-7825. I have to say that the principles that we're going to share with you throughout the program, both in our opening reflection here in just a minute from the Theology of the Body, and the advice that we'll share with you in your calls, have really helped me over the years understand what it means to forgive people. And, you know, because you can get caught up in a lot of, you know, questions about, well, I've said I forgive them, but I'm still hurting or I'm still frustrated. Does that mean I haven't really forgiven them? You know, trying to hold somebody accountable and they accuse you of being unforgiving. I've been able to resolve a lot of that kind of internal conflict about that. And what I love is being able to share that with, for example, the clients through CatholicCounselors.com and see the light bulbs go off for them, too, that really enable them to feel a lot more confident in their ability to forgive, but to do it in ways that actually heal the relationships instead of just sort of whitewash everything.
Yeah, and I think that most of us don't know a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about today and don't experience it because, of course, when we're children and we don't have very complex feelings and thinking, I should say, we definitely have complex feelings, but not thinking. Forgiveness is taught to us by saying, say you're sorry to your sister. I'm sorry. Tell your sister you forgive her. I forgive you, and then done, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're kind of taught by that and some, like, very superficial catechism that that's what it boils down to. You say you forgive, and you move the heck on, and you're supposed to be fine. And it's not that. It's all this multi-layered, what does reconciliation mean in the light of this particular situation? Do I have to reconcile when I forgive? How do I heal the wounds inside of myself? How do I become a better person? And where does God fit into all of this?
Well, and it's interesting, this is just as an aside, since you mentioned, you know, that we often learn kind of bad habits related to forgiveness in our families of origin.
At least superficial ones, yeah.
We were actually talking this week on the Catholic Home app, at Catholic HOM, where we provide parent coaching and marriage coaching for folks, about this whole idea of how do we teach kids what forgiveness really means and how to reconcile in healthy ways, making sure that we're not just teaching kids to say that they're sorry, but actually helping them identify ways to repair the damage that their actions have caused to the relationship with their parent or their sibling or whatever. And it's a really simple process, but it's really been eye-opening for a lot of the families that we work with on the Catholic Home app. So check it out if you're interested in that. But we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Fighting to Forgive. And whether you are struggling to forgive someone else or get their forgiveness for something you've done, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, you know, how could some theology help me deal with forgiveness or the struggles with reconciliation? It actually can tell us a lot, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, look, if we take everything God's given us, you know, scripture, salvation history, even creation, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that we were created for communion with God and each other. But sin damages that connection. But God's grace gives us the power to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. Every time we work to heal a relationship, and where possible, make it stronger, healthier, and deeper, we are building God's kingdom by restoring what St. John Paul called a civilization of love.
Of course, forgiveness is a key part of that rebuilding process, and St. John Paul described forgiveness as, quote, a decision of the heart to go against our natural instinct to pay back evil with evil. But notice what that means, right, and what it doesn't. So based on that definition, and by the way, St. Augustine said something similar as well, that forgiveness is when we give up our natural desire for revenge. But forgiveness is entirely within our power. It doesn't actually require the other person to be sorry. But it also doesn't mean that we have to forget what happened or stop feeling hurt by the offense. In fact, the Catechism tells us that we can't forget or not feel the pain of an offense. Or pretend that everything is fine. Or surrender the right to require a person who hurt us to repent and repair the damage that's caused by their actions. We need to do all of those things, in fact.
That last point that you just made, Greg, is really, really important to remember. Because, you know, holding someone accountable is not a failure to forgive. In most cases, it's the most loving response we can make. Love means working for the ultimate good of another person. And a big part of doing that means asking the person to who committed the offense to heal the damage that they caused so that they can learn from what they did and become better people moving forward.
So reconciliation builds on forgiveness, but it's different from it. And again, as St. Augustine put it, reconciliation is the peace that results from right order. It really requires the offender to own what they did, to express genuine sorrow, to commit to repairing the relationship. If those things aren't present, a Christian can and sometimes has to use healthy boundaries to protect ourselves from further harm, while leaving the door open for the other person to choose differently in the future. You know, forgiveness opens the door to reconciliation, but you can't force someone to walk through it. And it's okay if they refuse to walk through it, that you don't drag them in or say, well, come on in anyway. So let's talk about what forgiveness and reconciliation mean in the challenges you're facing in your relationships. 877-573-7825. Whether you are struggling to forgive someone or reconcile with them, or get someone to forgive you, we are here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence and we bring to you those situations where we are struggling to forgive or be forgiven by someone. Your servant, St. John Paul, reminds us that working to heal our relationships and to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships is the main way that we can work to build your kingdom. But sometimes it's hard to know what that looks like. And it's especially hard to know how to respond to those hurts that other people inflict on us or to get forgiveness from someone that we've hurt. So we ask you, Lord, to guide us through those steps so that we can appropriately encourage others to take responsibility for what they've done, to work with them to heal the damage that their actions have caused, and to really rebuild that strong connection rather than just pretending that everything's okay. Help us to pursue authentic forgiveness and reconciliation so that we can heal the breaks in your body that the various offenses can cause. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, fighting to forgive. Forgiveness is rarely as straightforward as we'd like it to be. If you're struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them, let's talk it out. Let us help you find healing. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Carl, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Carl, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. My wife and I are at a very difficult point. My daughter is 19, and she went off to college. And
how far away, Carl?
Lansing, or, you know, too far. I mean, it's an over an hour, something like that. Away.
That's not very far, Carl, but okay.
That's not far at all.
Not far for college. Go on.
Well, I mean, for us to talk to her or physically see her, that's what I mean. So she's not talking to us. She's just, like, cut us off. She's cut us off and doesn't want to talk to us. Says, she told me, I don't want a relationship with you.
Why? What happened, Carl?
Well, I mean, there were some problems. I would say, I'll have to admit, there were problems between my wife and I that, you know, we argued. And I think, I mean, one of us, I won't say which one, has sort of some issues, like psychological issues. But, I mean, it probably wasn't a good environment for her to grow up in some ways. I mean, my other two kids, boys, they're fine, you know. But the daughter, you know, she's not doing right. And she's doing well in school. I mean, she's, you know, she gets A's, she gets good grades. But she, you know, it seemed like she was, I don't know, acting out and doing things that would just get me angry or get my wife angry, like not telling us what she was doing. She'd go somewhere and wanted to be at her girlfriend's a lot and stayed overnight a lot before she left college. And
I'm sorry, and just to clarify, when you say girlfriend, do you mean like a platonic girlfriend, or do you mean this was a romantic relationship?
We assume so.
Okay, she's, all right. So, I just want to clarify.
Catholic,
go ahead.
Yeah. Catholic, and you know, not anything, but she also, you know, we would ask her not to wear these type of clothes to church when we went to church, but she would just try and like sneak them on, you know, and like be ready like 2 seconds before we have to leave, you know. Things like that, you know. She's just being difficult, you know, with what she wanted to do, and not wanting to, you know, follow rules.
So Carla, for the sake of time, I'm going to jump in here. And I'm sorry that, you know, it's really hard to navigate that transition from having a child at home and having more control over their life and their choices to, you know, letting them grow up and become adults. That's a very difficult thing to navigate. You're describing two things. I mean, you sort of alluded to a toxic environment growing up, and you didn't give a lot of detail, but you said there's some mental health issues, that you and your wife have had a lot of conflict, that she grew up in a very conflicted household that would have impaired the relationship. And when you say that the boys are all right, I mean, they might not be giving you problems, but that's not necessarily true either, and what I'm going to say relates to that relationship as well. When you have that dynamic to begin with, and you don't have a strong relationship with a kid, and most of your relationship becomes about correcting their behavior, they're going to push you away. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I'm saying that the issue isn't leaning harder on the behavior that you're seeing that's annoying you. The issue is really taking responsibility for the fact that you guys, by your own admission, haven't been the parents that she needed you to be. And even now, you're focusing more on rules than you are on relationship. You know, instead of recognizing that she's hurting, or that she's struggling, or that she needs you, or that she, has legitimate complaints against you, you're not addressing any of that. You're just focusing on what she's wearing to church.
And you're not really working on the relationship. And Carl, I want to call you out on this. An hour is too far.
Oh, hours is nothing.
I mean, my friend, I want to be clear on this. One of the best dads I've ever known, who was the Taekwondo instructor for my kids, he was an hour and a half away from where his oldest son went to college. And he made a deal with his son that he would go up every Wednesday night, worked with his son's schedule, and just have dinner with his kid. Just to catch up, whether they ate in the cafeteria or he took his son out for real food. So he had a 2-hour round-trip commute, but he made the effort because
more,
the relationship...
Like 2.5 hours. It was a 5-hour round trip.
Okay, but every Wednesday night, he made that sacrifice because he wanted a relationship with his son, and he knew he couldn't just do it over the phone. He also made sure that they talked to each other at least every other day. I have to, just to get to some work-related things, we drive an hour. This is not a kid who you have to get on a plane to be.
I take 45 minutes to drive to choir rehearsal every week.
Yeah,
so
and we're not trying to shame you. We're trying to say, most parents heard that and thought, oh my gosh, I would love for my kid to be that close. I don't have to get on a plane to get to my kid or drive the 6 hours that we have to get to get to see our kid. You have an opportunity here. I'm pointing this out because you have an opportunity to take that hour commute and just go see her when it works for her, and don't correct her clothing. Just be building that relationship, letting her know you love her, letting her know you're there for her, and you want to help heal the stuff that your family went through.
There's a saying, rules without relationship leads to rebellion, and that's exactly what, I mean, you guys are the poster parents for this.
And I have to say, her rebellion is not that insane. It's pretty mild compared to most 19-year-old rebellions.
If you want to have any kind of influence on your daughter at this point, you're going to have to back way off. And I want, here's what I want you to do. I want you to actually write to her and say, you know what, I'm sorry. We've got our issues, but I'm sorry that you grew up in a household where there was so much conflict and toxicity, and I'm sorry that we focused more on rules than on relationship. I get it. And I understand if you don't trust us, but we love you and we want to have a relationship with you, and I want to learn how to be the dad you need me to be. So I'd like to try to figure out, I'd like to get together with you for, you know, lunch once a week. I'll make the trip out and we can just,
or dinner,
you know,
or whatever it is,
right? I'd love to be able to just text with you at least every day, just say how are you doing, and focus on, you know, just what's going on in your life. And Carl, your job in those, all of those exchanges is to listen. and to hang back and to really pray through those experiences on how can you build relationship before trying to lay down any more rules. This is going to be hard for you, and I think that it's going to be important to get some professional help, so I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can guide you through how to rebuild this relationship so that you can have influence, so you'd be willing to listen to what you're saying. But the harder you lean into trying to correct her behavior and micromanage her choices at this point without any kind of relationship and without addressing the hurts, the real hurts that she has in her relationship with you, the more you're going to push her away, not just from you, but from God and the church as well. And I need you to face that, and that there are ways forward, and there are ways that you can be an effective mentor to your young adult child, but it's going to take you stepping way back and focusing on addressing the pain and really building real relationship with her instead of continuing to treat her like a project. Carl, if there's more that we can do to support you, and I believe there's a lot more we could do to support you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can guide you through the rest of these steps. But I appreciate you having the courage to call in today. I thank you for being willing to hear this very hard message. I hope that you can really receive it in a spirit of prayer and recognizing where it comes from real desire for both Lisa and I to help you heal your relationship with your daughter. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, continuing to take your calls on forgiveness, on More to Life, we'll be also joined by Rachel Watkins, the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She'll be talking more about forgiveness and family life. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, fighting to forgive. You know, forgiveness is rarely as straightforward as we'd like it to be. Are you struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them? Call in. Let us help you find healing. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She is the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Lisa.
Rachel, you really want to reflect today on what happens when you've got somebody that you have to forgive and you're living in the same household with them. You're saying it's one thing to forgive somebody who you don't have to see all the time, but when you're sharing a household with them, what then? What's your wisdom?
Well, the thing is, when you're living with it, whether a spouse, an adult child, or a younger child, is the past becomes present every time you see them. Every time they walk in the room, you can remember, you know, Satan will pull up that old memory of when they let you down, when they hurt you. And what we have to do is, we joke about it in the Watkins house, is, you know, sometimes we have to put on our big girl pants. You know, some relationships require us to be more of an adult, where we let the past be in the past. We stay in the present with the grace of God, the strength of the sacraments that we all partake in, to say, I forgive you. even when we don't really feel like it. But Christ asks us, forgive your enemies. And he is our model, especially as Easter is getting closer and Good Friday is there for us to say, Lord, I know I really want to concrete forgive this person who's hurt me. It's too hard for me to do. Please do it with me.
Yeah.
And he will.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you're cautioning all of our listeners that when you're living with somebody and there's a pattern of, you know, hurt there, that it can be triggered very easily. Like you're saying, they can walk into the room, use a tone of voice, and suddenly you're thinking, what a jerk they were all these other times. So what you're saying is this becomes an active spiritual practice to forgive and to build a healthier relationship without dragging everything behind you, but working as well as you can in the present to make for a healthier, better future and to work for the good of your own soul as well. And I think that's a very important insight for all of us to be able to do that.
This action is heroic. It truly is. Sometimes you are reaching down to be the hero of your own story, but you say to them, I forgive you, as many times as they need to hear it. Because sometimes our children, especially our young adult children, will come to us and apologize, and we say, I forgive you. I do. Let's move on. Because God wants us to have a healthier, happier relationship. And that might call for us to forgive ourselves, to say, yeah, I did make mistakes, to go through the anger we might have with God that the situation occurred. But we can do that work with Christ's help to know that there's a better day on the other side.
Well, thanks, Rachel, for your insights. And if folks would like to learn more about her work, you can go to beholdpublications.com to discover the Little Flowers Girls Club. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about forgiveness, either getting forgiveness from others or forgiving the people that hurt you. What does it require of you? What does it take to reconcile with them? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after this.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Why does marriage require complete fidelity between spouses? The Catholic Catechism states that the intimate union of marriage is a mutual self-giving of two persons ordered to the welfare of their children, which requires that there be an unbreakable union between them. The deepest reason is found in the fidelity of Christ to his church. Through the sacrament of matrimony, the spouses are able to represent that fidelity and witness to it. For these reasons, the spouses can be nothing but completely faithful to one another. Marriage is such a deep, personal union of giving oneself to the other that it cannot, the Catechism asserts, be an arrangement until further notice. As difficult as it may seem to retain this indissolubility for a lifetime, it is made possible by God's irrevocable love in which the couple shares and which will support them through their marital journey. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. We parents are only human, and that's a good thing. But it also means that sometimes we say and do things around our family that we wish we hadn't. When that happens, have you ever considered apologizing to your child or spouse? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You can say something like, you know, I can tell I really hurt you when I yelled at you earlier today. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Some parents worry that apologizing might undermine their authority. But for Christians, true authority isn't about power and control. Rather, it flows from trusting, healthy relationships. Asking forgiveness helps to build that good kind of authority. It shows our kids that our relationship with them is based on love, truth, and generosity. Most importantly, it shows that God is the ultimate authority in our home. When God rules our lives, we don't need to constantly project some false image of our own perfection. We can admit our mistakes because our identity and worth are rooted in our inherent dignity as God's beloved children, a dignity that doesn't depend on our perfection, but rather on God's limitless love for us. To get more help and resources, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Fighting to Forgive. You know, forgiveness is rarely as straightforward as we'd like it to be. If you're struggling to forgive someone or be forgiven by them, let's talk it out and discover the steps to healthy reconciliation. 877-573-7825.
Just before we go back to our callers, we want to let you know that one of our great EWTN radio partners needs to hear from you next week. Domestic Church Media, with four stations serving New Jersey, my home state, kicks off their spring radiothon on Wednesday.
But wherever you live, make sure that you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and everybody you love in living a more faithful and abundant life. So check it out, the Domestic Church Media pledge drive next week, but also all the other folks who are on their spring pledge drives as well.
That's right.
Make sure that you're supporting EWTN radio wherever you are. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Fighting to Forgive.
Let's talk now with Carrie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama.
Carrie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you. I have been waiting for this topic to come up for quite some time. Pardon me.
What's going on, Carrie? It looks like you've got a lot to forgive.
I have been divorced for 2 years. Prior to that, I was married in a Catholic marriage for 38 years. We raised two wonderful children who are both practicing Catholics still. Anyway, during the whole, my husband left me, filed for divorce. During the whole process, he treated me like I was the person in the wrong. And was just bad. Anyway, and he took half of my retirement income because the laws in our state allowed him to do that. And I am trying very hard to forgive him because I know that's the right thing to do. But
Let me ask you, Carrie, how would you know, what does that look like to you? When you think about what you're, you know, supposed to do to forgive your ex-husband, what do you imagine that would look like? Because a lot of times what we imagine forgiveness requires isn't actually what it requires. And sometimes it does, but I'd be just interested to know what your thoughts are on that.
That I would quit absolutely despising him.
Okay. What would that look like? Like, if you stopped despising him, how would you treat him differently, or how would you live differently than you currently are? What would be different about you? Or
it would be
him?
An internal thing, not an external thing. Mm-hmm. When I do see him, I am courteous to him and his girlfriend. And
that's very hard.
So it's like I said, external thing. Yeah. It would be internal. It would just.
So, Carrie, let me. When you say, you know, you'd stop despising him, do you? I wonder if it's not so much that you despise him, but it's that you're hurt and you're angry because he hurt this person that you spent a whole lifetime with and built a whole life with, hurt you so deeply. Could you just clarify? Does that make sense to you, or?
It makes sense, but I think that hurt is only a part of it.
Well, tell me more about that.
Only part of it, and there's no. It's not like I can foresee us reconciling in
no,
any
no.
way.
No, 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 no. I'm not. I'm not even suggesting that.
And
But when you say that hurt is just part of it, what are the other parts? Because I'm just trying to understand when you, what
well,
you mean by despising
the anger, the anger that
yeah.
You know,
well, but you know anger is hurt,
like
right?
Person in the wrong, and
yeah, that's all
so,
of that.
So what I'm hearing as we're going through this with you, Carrie, is you're one of the steps. I'm just going to put this out here for you to meditate on in prayer, right? Maybe even before the Blessed Sacrament, asking God to help you sort out forgiving him from being righteously angry at the sin that was committed against you, the sin against the sacrament of your marriage, the sin against your family life. You're righteously angry against the actual sin that took place. Being able to not want him to get hit by a bus when you think about him is really what it takes to be forgiving. Like, you stop wishing him ill, but you don't have to just say, oh, everything he did to me was just fine. There was no injustice to that. That's different.
So let's talk about, you know, going back to what we said earlier. Both St. Augustine and St. John Paul talked about forgiveness being when we surrender our desire to hurt someone for having hurt us. So when you say that you treat him courteously when you see him, that you're courteous even to his girlfriend.
That's super saintly of you, actually, Carrie.
Yeah. Now, you know, if you're not talking badly about him behind his back, if you're not trying to ruin his life in some way or lash out at him in some way, then you've forgiven him. You know, because forgiveness just means that we give up paying back evil for evil, as St. John Paul put it. Now, the Catechism, though, goes on to say, and you can read this for yourself, it's 2843. And I'm quoting it here. It is not within our power to forget or not feel an offense. But the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming hurt into intercession.
Which is the only way that can really happen is when the Holy Spirit is present and you're actively engaging with the Holy Spirit to be able to do that.
So what does that mean, though? Okay, that doesn't mean that that you're supposed to let go of. What it means is when you feel hurt or you recall the offense, what the Catechism is asking us to do here is to bring that to God and say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm still hurting from this. You know, what he did was not okay. I am trying my best to treat him with dignity and respect, even though he hurt me so deeply and betrayed me so thoroughly. Please show me how to heal this wound that is left, and help me respond to this situation in a way that enables me to be my best and glorifies you. And also invites him to be his best self too, however I can. And the more you pray that way, the more you are interceding for him, for the situation, for your own healing, and that's what you're asked to do. It's not a matter of making the feelings go away. It's not a matter of pretending that everything's okay. It's not a matter of saying that I'm just not going to think about it anymore. It's when you feel that hurt, when you remember the offenses and all of that, you bring it to God and you say, Lord, I am still hurting from all of this. And by the way, the anger that you feel, what you call despising, that's all hurt. That's what anger is the response to an injustice, like Lisa was just talking about, right? I feel angry because I've been hurt.
And not just randomly hurt, like, oh, they randomly hurt my feelings. The actual injustice against the Catholic sacrament in your marriage, right? Matrimony is a sacrament. The fact that he went out of his way to accuse you of things, the fact that he took half of it, these are actual injustices. And Carrie, I want you to realize that, let's say, God forbid a million times, that somebody came along and shot you in the chest. You might decide after the surgery and you're recovering and you've gotten over being stunned by it to forgive the person who shot you because you know it's good for your soul. You're saying, I want to do what St. John Paul II did and I'm going to forgive this person. That doesn't mean as you're lying there in the hospital, you don't still need IVs and medication so you don't get infected and time to heal and learn how to function again.
Or for the, you know, or for the person who shot you to be in jail so that they're safe.
Exactly. You know? You're not going to invite them over for dinner. You need time to heal. And these wounds with this kind of injustice, 2 years out, that you can be so gracious is really the Holy Spirit working in you and you wanting to be pliable to the Holy Spirit after 38 years in the sacrament of marriage.
So we're not suggesting that you're done, okay? I mean, but we are saying that you have, you for the most part, forgiven him based on what Christian forgiveness is. The next piece of it, though, is healing the wound.
Yeah.
The existence of a wound does not mean that you've not forgiven. The existence of the wound means that God still has a plan for healing you. And so every time you're feeling that wound or feeling angry about that wound or remembering the things that he did to you, the next thing I want you to do is bring it to God and say, okay, Lord, show me how to heal from these hurts. Walk me through the steps of letting go of this pain and not just letting go of the pain, but actually healing the wounds that are causing the pain. Because I don't know how to do that. I don't know what that would even look like, but show me. And help me walk those steps of healing so that I can let go of the hurt and be the person you're calling me to be in the face of all of this. Now, that's a lot to do on your own. And if we can help you walk through those steps, and I believe that we can, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll connect you with a good, faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you heal these wounds. But you have forgiven your ex based on what you're sharing. But the wounds that you still carry are a promise from God that he still has healing in his heart for you. And that if you're able to walk these steps of healing, that's another thing. But that's got nothing to do with forgiveness. I mean, in the sense that because you are forgiving him in the way that you're behaving toward him. You just have wounds that still need to be healed, and God wants to heal those for you.
And if you say, well, I still really angry, or still sometimes I, you know, do wish he was hit by a bus, that's when you take those moments and say, Lord, I know I've forgiven him, and I'm trying to forgive him. Give me the grace to do it again. It keeps coming up for me, and I need healing from this.
All right. Carrie, I'm so sorry that you've gone through that, I want to commend you on your courage to forgive him, to be courteous to him, to be courteous even to his girlfriend at this point.
It's amazing.
And to not let the hurt that you're feeling poison your treatment of him. But I want to also encourage you to know that the hurt that you're carrying is not unforgiveness, but rather a sign that God still wants to heal you. And to help you find ways to be whole again after the trauma that you've experienced from this divorce. And if there's anything that we can do to facilitate that healing in your life, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We are taking your calls today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness on our show titled Fighting to Forgive. 877-573-7825. As we go out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans chapter 12, verse 17.
Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable.
And I'm glad that we have this verse, especially after talking with Carrie.
Perfect.
Because
right
of the perfect follow-up, right?
Yeah.
You know, Carrie, in trying to work to be courteous to her ex-husband, even to his girlfriend, is working hard to not repay evil for evil. She's treating him with honor, even though she doesn't want to, even though it's hard. And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is when we stop wanting to hurt the other person for having hurt us, or stop trying to hurt the other person for having hurt us. And any of the other hurts that we carry inside of our hearts because of those offenses, we bring them to God and say, Lord, show me how I can heal. Not show me how I can pretend that I'm not hurting. Show me how I can actually heal the wounds that are causing this pain. Walk me through those steps so that I can be the person you're calling me to be in the face of all of this. But in the meantime, I'm going to work really hard to be honorable to this person and treat this person with courtesy and respect, even though they hurt me. Even though I'm going to keep up those boundaries because they're not safe for me to be around. All of those things are signs of having forgiven but not being able to reconcile, and that is an okay position for a Christian to be in, because we can't make relationships work all by ourselves, because even God can't do that. Jesus died on the cross and rose again to open the doors to heaven, but there are a lot of people who still don't walk through those doors. That's not God's fault. He's not able to drag us kicking and screaming into heaven, because he respects our free will, and we have to respect other people's free will as well. We can't make relationships work on our own. We can just leave the door open for that possibility should they want to change. And forgiveness is that first step. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about forgiveness when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hello, friends. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here. And I haven't been this excited about an up-and-coming speaker for a long time, Dr. Marcus Peter. Dr. Peter has the gift of combining deep theological insight, wisdom, and knowledge with personal testimony and story in a way that makes the power of the church's teaching and God's love felt deeply in the heart of all who hear him. If you are looking for someone for your next conference, parish mission, or event, look no further than Dr. Marcus Peter.
Visit MarcusBPeter.com to book Dr. Marcus Peter to speak at your event. At the Ave Maria website, you can continue the discussion and education through the Ave Maria Radio's links to social media. Ave Maria Radio has accounts on Facebook, X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the social media symbols at the top of your screen.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, fighting for forgiveness. We're talking about those times when forgiveness is a little hard to do. How can we forgive others or get forgiveness from them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio app.
Hey, Stephanie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on? Stephanie, are you there?
Let's see. How can my daughter... Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes. We can now. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm calling to see how can I help my daughter forgive a classmate of hers and bring peace to a situation that's been going on for the last 2 to 3 months.
So what's going on?
They've been bullying each other. The group of friends have separated, you know, that group against her. And my daughter's, you know, an academic all-rounder. She's into sports. She's a cheerleader. And I think, you know, she's in sixth grade, so I think maybe someone said something about boys, and then rumors flew, and now, like, my daughter went and apologized to the other girl a couple months ago, right before Christmas, and the girl said no, and apparently the girl has her friends, and the friends are nice with my daughter when this girl's not around. But as soon as the girl's around, you know, it's, you know, a bunch of hormones and the girls are being girls, and it's really sad situation because they're going to a Catholic school as well.
So and let me ask you, Stephanie, is your daughter continuing to antagonize this other girl, or what's going on with your daughter?
You know, she's come home crying a few times, you know, talking about how they won't leave her alone. And she finally blew up the other day and got in trouble at school for it. And I told her, I said, you need to just calm down and forgive. And she's like, I'm tired of being the nice person.
Well, so that's the problem there. This isn't really an issue of forgiveness. This is an issue of how does she appropriately defend herself? Because a Christian has a right to self-defense as well. We have a right to protect ourselves from harm.
And I do want to just jump in for one second, Stephanie. We're going to talk through what to do to help your daughter. The worst thing you can do in this situation to have power to help your daughter is to say, just calm down and forgive. Because all she is hearing, while you are very well intentioned of wanting to bring the virtue of forgiveness into her life, all she's hearing is, Mom doesn't get it. What she's really telling me is, I don't want to be bothered with your problems. Just be quiet. I have other things
to
do.
I know that's not what you're trying to say.
It's not what you're trying to say at all. But for a sixth grade girl going through this, that's how she's going to interpret it. And it's going to shut her down. It's going to keep her from accepting your influence in her life.
And I'm going to say this, and I don't want to, but I feel like I have to just because this is something I've been through lately. And I'm not saying this would happen for you, but we just talked to a friend yesterday who there were two suicides in their school of kids your daughter's age.
Just a few weeks apart.
And these were good kids. These were academically successful kids. These were kids who were active in sports. And nobody knew what was going on. And bullying played a big factor in it, and in the sense that they felt like nobody was there for them or nobody could really help them. And that was what the kids ended up doing to, quote unquote, solve the problem. I'm not suggesting that your daughter's in that situation. Not at all. But what I am saying for you and for any other parent out there, it's not bullying is much worse than it even was when we were kids because it continues on the internet.
Yeah, it just comes home with you. You're never away from it.
And, you know, so yes, of course, we need to forgive the bully. But what forgiving does not mean letting it go. It doesn't mean just relaxing and pretending it doesn't hurt. It means I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me. But it means I'm still going to hold you accountable for what you're doing. And so there are two things that you need to be doing. The first one is rehearsing with her different things that the other girls are saying to her. How can she respond to it effectively? Not just pat kind of like, you know, nonsense about, you know, I'm rubber, you're glue, and whatever, you know, you say bounces off of me.
Not just being nice
but
trusting over.
What are things that she could actually say or do to effectively respond? Or not respond to the different things that the girls are saying or doing? And when I say effectively, I mean, what would get them to stop? How could she address the offense? What does she need to talk to a teacher then? Does she need to say something? Does she need to get to a safe place? Where does she find the people who can stand in her corner and back her up? Because otherwise, the only options she's got are to lash out or hurt herself. Right? And so just saying to her, you need to forgive and let it go, just gives her two options, to lash out or hurt herself. And you don't want her to pursuing either of those options. So there needs to be this a real discussion about, all right, the girl said this. This is what you could do or say to keep yourself safe or to disarm them or to get yourself to a place where you can hold them accountable. These are real practical solutions. Now, and if you don't know what to do, that's okay. That's where you talk to the school or you enlist the help of a counselor that you can work with to kind of sort through these things with her. But saying to a kid who's being bullied, to just let it go and forgive is never enough because all that does is give them two options, to hurt themselves or hurt somebody else.
So you want to be in a position where you're saying, this is really hurting you. I know this is really scary and really aggravating and really an awful way to have to go to school. And I'm really proud of all the things that you're still able to do in this situation because you just listed them for the whole world to hear, Stephanie. But she's getting A's and she's doing all these right things and she's trying so hard. So she needs to know her mother's on her side. She needs to know her mother's hearing her, and she needs to know her mom's going to help her find the answers. And you really want to work to help find those answers of what she can do when this girl goes after her. And that does not mean that you have to do it in that way. If this is bad enough, you need to let her know you're willing to switch schools for her. You're willing to do other things to keep her safe. So you really want to be the sounding board for this, so she knows she can trust you to help her get the help that she needs to make this better.
But the key is, okay, you're sitting down with her and saying, tell me what happened. Let's walk through what they said and what they did. Okay, let's role play and actually rehearse what you can say or do, or whose help you can enlist to get them to stop doing that thing, or at least keep yourself safe when they do those things. And if you're not sure what to tell her, then you need to speak with the school, speak with the teacher, speak with a counselor who can help coach you through how she can disarm the bullying. And forgiving them, again, means I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me, but that doesn't mean she can't defend herself or hold them accountable. Thanks so much for the call. I hope that these suggestions will help you move forward. And Stephanie, or you or any of our other listeners are struggling with the challenge of forgiveness, either forgiving or being forgiven, or knowing what it really means to forgive or be forgiven, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in light of God's grace. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.